Well, right now we have the privilege of hearing the mission burden of Brother Peter Ard with the International Board of Jewish Missions.
Not with me. She is in remission. Thank you for your prayers. Amen. And she appreciates your prayers as well as I do. Actually, many times I get to a place and one of the first things I hear is, "Where's Jean?" But she is a very important part of my life and a very important part of our ministry. If you want an idea where it is, you take I-75 and head north, come to I-10, go west on I-10 about an hour, and we're south of I-10 at that point, about 30 minutes. But it's called Dowling Park, or actually the house address says Live Oak, so we can have two zip codes. I want to tell you, I've been blessed. You all have been a blessing to me, and the conference has been a blessing. I want to thank Pastor for everything he's done to make the conference a blessing, and each of you that have had a part. You know, I don't know about you, but it's easy to overlook the blessings of God. God wants to bless each and every individual. Whether you're here tonight or not, He wants to bless you. And just being here tonight, he is blessed. God made a promise to Abraham, "I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." It's not a present tense blessing, it's a future tense blessing. Of course, that blessing sees its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, Paul expressed it perhaps best, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And so, we have all been blessed. It's interesting to me that God allows us that we might be blessings. We might even bless God. Can you think of that? The Creator of the universe can be blessed by His creation. And He's given us that opportunity. Pastor mentioned that I would be sharing our burden, our ministry. It's interesting, when God chastised the Jewish people, and they're just like you and I, in the sense that they've done things that haven't pleased God. And so part of the result of their disobedience, God has scattered them, it says, everywhere, basically. Do you love God? Do you love His Word? Do you love the Son? Then you need to have a burden for the Jewish people. God still loves the Jewish people. And I've heard this more than once by a pastor friend. He was our pastor for a number of years. There are three groups of people. I'm speaking biblically. Don't care what the media says. But three groups, according to the Bible. There's the church. There's the Jew. There's the Gentile. Now, the church is composed of saved Jews and Gentiles. But of all the people groups in the world, there's three basic groups: the church, the Jew, the Gentile. And we have the privilege to reach out to bring others into the body of Christ, the church. And of course, Israel was God's first chosen people. And they are still God's chosen people. But they failed in their responsibility. They were to make God known to a lost and dying world. And by failing to do so, eventually the result was they were set aside. But as we know our Bible, God's going to take up the Jewish people again, call out 144,000, and once again He's going to use the Jewish people to reach out and evangelize the world. But we have the opportunity to fill in for them, pitch hit, if you would, for this time. I would challenge you. Brother Gardner did a good job having a burden for souls. Have a burden for souls. I mentioned the Jewish people are everywhere. I would be surprised if each and every one of you, if you get out at all, doesn't come in contact with a Jewish person at least once a month, maybe even once a week. The situation is you don't realize it. You don't realize it because they don't wear a name tag. They'd prefer not to be known. They'd prefer to blend in. Many times, if they don't blend in, they suffer the consequence. So they want to be part of the group, and they'd rather not be known as a Jew. They'd rather just be known as Stan or Harvey. If you've been blessed of God, and you have been, it's your opportunity to be a blessing to God and a blessing to others. And I would challenge you that you might be a blessing to your church and reach out to Jew and Gentile. And like I said, you'd be amazed at how many Jewish people, as you pray and ask God's leadership, pray and ask the Spirit's guidance, you'd be surprised how many Jewish people you come in contact at least during a month. Let me give you some examples. Gene's a two-time breast cancer survivor. We don't go out and say, first qualification for our doctor is that he's Jewish. But it's interesting how many Jewish people God has brought our way. I will share with you some illustrations. Dr. Harvey, and I'm just using his last initial, G, does cancer radiation. Dr. Jody Abrams, he specializes in eye care. Dr. Daniel C specializes in heart. Dr. Sarah S is a surgeon and she specializes in wrists. I'll give you an example. We were in Argentina a few years back, and Gene accompanied me to northern Argentina. We were in Tucumán. I was teaching in the Bible Institute. And she came with me to accompany me and be there. We were staying in a decent hotel. We come out for an evening service to be picked up by one of the folks from the church. And she's walking down the sidewalk. There's a little uneven portion of the sidewalk. She trips, falls, and breaks her wrist. That ended up with us meeting with Dr. Sarah. And she did surgery on Jean. If you're willing, God will use you. And that's the exciting thing. You don't have to be a missionary dedicated to going to some country. You can be a servant in this church. And so I would challenge. Well, let me mention this. I got a few brochures up here. I'll mention annually our mission does a four-day focus of Jewish missions. That is conducted from January 19th to the 22nd this year. For students, they pretty much try to cover all costs. The focus cost per person is $175, but they do have some accommodations for students, and they do provide meals. But they would help prepare you for when God gives you the opportunity to speak to Jewish people. Some people think, I don't want to talk to a Jewish person. Some of the nicest people I've met have been Jewish people. And doing so, I would present myself and tell them I have a love of God, the God of Israel, and I have a love for the Word of God, which was given to us through the Jewish people, and I have a love for the Jewish people. I have been blessed of God, and so I want to be a blessing to you. And that begins a relationship where I can go back and visit them in their business. And as opportunity provides itself, pray for them. Pray they might know the blessing of God. Pray they might know the salvation of God. Pray they might be able to recognize their Messiah. And so God opens the doors in many ways. These people I've listed, I try to get out special feast cards. Like for Passover, I'd send them a Passover card. For Purim, I'd send them a Purim card and include a gospel tract. You mean, well, I don't know what to say to a Jewish person. Well, great. We have a tract for you. Actually, we have several tracts. This one's called The Road to Zion. And you've heard of the Romans Road in the New Testament. This gives the road to get to heaven in the Old Testament. Many of the verses are from the Psalms. Of course, Isaiah 53 is always a good passage. You may not realize it, but the Jewish people in their synagogues will read through much of the Bible. They'll read from the Psalms. They'll read in Isaiah. And what's interesting is they'll read through Isaiah 52 and then tip to Isaiah 54. Folks, Satan wants to blind the lost. And he wants to blind the Jewish people. Do you love God? He loves us. And I'm thankful for that love. Now, you may wonder what you can do. I mentioned one already. You can pray. I would encourage you to pray for the Faringers. Am I saying that right? Pray for the Faringers. Let me mention this. When missionaries go, and I'm not separating them from anybody else. I've seen it in our lives, my wife and mine. When missionaries go to the field, it's many times very difficult. Brother Gardner was mentioning this even today, that it's very difficult for the wife to adapt. Why? Because she has the concerns for the home. She has the concerns to get established in one location for the family. And she wants to take care of her family, which she should. And so Satan's very astute. If he can't attack the missionary and the missionary's weakness, where is he going to attack? Many times he'll attack the wife. And so as you pray for your missionaries, certainly pray for the husband, the missionary. But pray for the wife, pray for the children. Because Satan will attack wherever he can. Again, you may be concerned, if I meet a Jewish person, what am I going to say? I mentioned the Road to Zion. We have another booklet. It's called How to Win the Jews. And this gives a lot of background on the Jewish people, what they believe and what they practice and how they live. When we went to Argentina, the figure at that time was more than 90% of the people in Argentina were Catholic. When I got to Argentina, they may have been professing Catholics, but the practicing Catholics was probably 10% or less. Now, why do I give you that illustration? Because among the Jewish people, the practicing Jewish people, if they practice, many times they'll just be the three major feasts, Passover, Purim, the New Year, Day of Atonement, those four anyway, they may practice those. But you've got a lot of time aside from that. And my impression when I was first saved, you know, the Jewish people know the Old Testament. How am I going to talk to a Jewish person without knowing the Old Testament as well as they do? Well, guess what? If you read your Bible regularly, if you're faithful to church, in most cases, you probably know the Bible better than 90% or more of the Jewish people because they don't know their Bible. Now, I'll make an exception. If they are practicing Jews and if they've done their bar mitzvah, the boys do the bar mitzvah at 13, the girls do bat mitzvah at 12, they may have memorized much of the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, we call it. They call it the Torah. They may have memorized much of the first five books of the Bible. But if you don't stay in the Bible, you forget it. We can admit to that. And they don't. Most of the adults, if they're in synagogue, if they're reciting the Hebrew prayers, they're reciting them from rote. They can't read them anymore because they haven't practiced. And so we can reach them. Led by the Holy Spirit. It takes much prayer. If you want to be a witness, pray. Ask God to lead you. And pray and then go. And as you go, God will lead, God will guide. I've visited Jewish friends for years. And I'll go out to visit. In the past, I'd go out to visit. And I'd say to myself, what am I going to say? I've told them everything I know. But as I go, God's faithful. And He gives you the word to speak. And I always, God would give me what to say at the right time. And many times they would thank me for the visit. I could pray with many of them and ask God to bless them. David said, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Folks, we have no one to fear but God. And you know what hinders us many times from serving God? A lack of the fear of God. You want to learn the fear of the Lord? Study the Jewish people in the Old Testament, and you'll see when they didn't fear God, they were in for trouble. Why is the church lacking today? Because there's a lack of the fear of God. I mentioned the four-day focus. Let me mention one other thing at least. This church could have what's called an everlasting nation fellowship. Many times they would meet once a month. Of course, it would be under the pastor's guidance, but the church would meet maybe before prayer meeting for 30 minutes or more. And as God brings Jewish people in your path, you'd pray for those Jewish souls that God would allow you to be a witness and God would touch their heart, soften their hearts to the truth of the gospel. The devil would discourage you to do that. But God can use us. The question is, how big is our God? How big is your God? God wants to do great things. And so I would challenge you, pray. Pray that God might lead you to a Jewish person, that you might be a witness. Pray that you might be active in the church, praying for Jewish souls. Again, consider the Everlasting Nation Fellowship. I mentioned one other thing. Since I've been here, one member at least has asked about giving and giving to groups that work with the Jewish people, or at least to have an investment in Jewish people. I would challenge you, first give your tithe, then be faithful to the faith promise. But if you have questions about who you should give or who you should support, talk to your pastor. Because Satan's very, very astute, as I mentioned before. And he will use religion to deceive even the believers. And so there are groups out there that are asking for your funds. They're saying they're doing great things. But if they're not faithful to the Word of God, and if they're not faithful to share the truth, a man without Christ is on his way to hell, I'd be very careful as to who you support. Because one day we'll give account as to what we do with our finances. And so it's good that you want to give, you want to support the work of God. But if you have a question, talk to your pastor and get his guidelines. This church approves numerous missionaries. And so as you support the church and their missions promise, you are giving to God and you are supporting the work of God. And I encourage you to do so. Again, I've been blessed of God. In Psalm 122 and verse 6, it says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." They shall prosper that love them. How do you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Well, I believe, first and foremost, we pray that they might come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Messiah is peace. He is the peace of this world. And so as you are faithful to pray for Jerusalem and the Jewish people, you'll be praying for them to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned to begin with, I mentioned I've been blessed since I've been here. God has blessed me in such a wonderful way. I don't deserve those blessings, but I'm thankful for them. David gave this testimony in Psalm 34, verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Folks, we can be a source of praise and blessing to God, but it's only as we've been taught, as we obey this Word, as we live this Word. We need to hear the Word, but we need to practice and live the Word. And as we do so, God will bless and use us for His honor and glory. You can be used to reach Jewish people, and you'd be amazed at how many of them you come in contact. And it's a one-step process. In Philippians, and I want to try and close, but in Philippians it says, work out your own salvation. Salvation is a one-time experience as far as knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and becoming a child of God. That's once and forever. But as we seek and follow God, He works out and develops that salvation. He allows that salvation to mature in us that we can serve Him in a greater way. He receives greater glory. And God wants to do that through each and every one of us. God is not a respecter of persons, but wants to do great things. And this missions conference is testimony of that. And so I thank you for your time, and I challenge you, love God, love His Son, love His Word, and be faithful to His Word. Thank you.